Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Well, I'm keeping busy.
Yeah, you are hopping like crazy around here, huh?
Yes, but it's fun.
Very, very good. And with us, as always, our preferred lender, Mr. Mike Denslow of Wells Fargo. Mike, how's things going?
Things are cracking. It's spring. You know that spring came early, and it's spring is still going.
Yes, it definitely is. And that is exactly something that we're going to be talking about today. We made it through first quarter.
Yep.
So it's time for that, hopefully not bore you to death with statistics, but it's time for that first quarter review. Just there's been a lot of talk, a lot of news stories out there. Where exactly are we? So we're going to take a look at that today because we like to know the numbers, report the accurate numbers that we see, and go from there. But first, we have, as always, our celebrity news story. And this one involves the Northwest.
Hmm.
So we have none other than a Mr. Matthew Fox as selling his Manhattan Beach, California home. Now, Matthew Fox, I'm going to take you back a ways to a show originally made popular in a show called Party of Five.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lost, right?
And that was the big one. Yeah, then his popularity got huge in Lost when he did Lost from like 2004 to 2010. So he has put his house on the market. Now, here is one of those celebrities not in trouble with his house, not upside down. He actually purchased the beach house back in 99 for $880,000. And recently just put it back on the market for almost $2 million. $1,995,000.
But that's not $2
million. That's not $2 million. So, and the reason he is selling is because, and here's the Northwest part, is him and his longtime wife are going to make their permanent home in Bend, Oregon.
Oh, wow.
So they have a house there in Bend. So getting rid of the beach house and making full-time residency in Bend, Oregon. So there you have it. That is our celebrity story of the week concerning property. But we've got to get down to first quarter numbers. So I thought the first number that would be interesting, what we always look at is kind of a macro level, is we like to really take a look at, number one, is how many units have sold. You know, exactly how many units have sold. You hear people talk about that a lot. It's a great indicator of where we're at. So we have had, through the first quarter, 567 units sold. Now, I know we had talked a lot on the show. Mike and I had talked a lot about how it felt like this year started off quickly, and we were just kind of blazing through. Some of that's why we look at the market numbers, was probably for different reasons, maybe just your business and my business, because that number, surprisingly, is almost exactly the same as 2011, as last year.
Wow.
So through the end of first quarter in 2011, we were at, in fact, it's scary how close it is, we were at 574 units sold, so actually 7 more units last year. As opposed to 567. Now, what's interesting about that, though, is our pending numbers are up.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, it feels like I've got more under construction right now.
Right. And so our pending numbers are up. So where, as opposed to, say, for instance, last March, we had 312 homes that were under contract in March. This year, we had 340. And then same thing, February was a massive difference where we had 279 in 2011 and 334. So some of that is, like you said, new construction starts that have gone pending but have not closed. Another part of that could just be some of the loan process taking a little bit longer. You know, some files taking a little bit longer to close.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually a whole another show, and we're gonna actually do that next week because there's been some great new articles out about that.
So you're giving me a week to prepare for that one.
I'm giving you a week to prepare for that one. Now, interestingly enough, we're also tracking. Like we'll talk to Mike about, we're also tracking what type of loans, how are people buying these homes in the first quarter? What exactly has happened in the first quarter as far as the number of loans? So here it is, Mike. I know this is, his ears are perking up. I'm talking the money now.
The eyebrows are up.
He's getting excited. So, conventional loans. So, of our total, there was 260 of those 567, so roughly about 44%. 44% of the mortgages done and purchases were done with conventional financing. The next biggest category, I'm sure you can guess.
FHA.
FHA. He did not.
It's like he's done this before.
He did not disappoint. So FHA came in just a little bit under that, roughly 30%. VA, which is a smaller segment, came in at about 8% of the transactions were done with VA loans. And then 13% of those transactions were done with cash.
Wow.
So more than VA. There was more cash transactions than VA, which is interesting. I probably wouldn't have guessed that until I ran the numbers. And then the remainder of that is taken up by real estate contracts. So less than 2%, but about 1.5% were done where the owner actually carried the contract. Mm-hmm. So kind of interesting to note. Still the bulk of our mortgages coming from the conventional side, but FHA a huge factor in the market with over 30% of those loans being done. And if you look at price segments, we're going to find that those. Under, 270, what's our limit? 279 here? Or is it 275?
Well, the loan amount's 270.
270,
but the
okay.
Purchase price to do the standard 3.5% down is right between 279 and 280.
So what we're talking about in the, because I went on a tangent and forgot I was on the radio, but as I'm thinking in my head, is what we're talking about is in the Tri-Cities, the FHA has defined that the loan limit can be, you cannot get an FHA loan for more than $270,000 in the Tri-Cities. So we see in those price segments below that actually the percentage of FHA mortgages is much higher when we look at the specific price segments. So that kind of is our breakdown on where the money's been coming from,
mm-hmm.
and how that's been working. Another thing that we really pay really close attention to is it's always interesting. People get a feel for what's going on quarter to quarter in the market. So a lot of the numbers that I just gave you looked where are we in comparison to the first part of last year. We also break that down versus fourth quarter because things are a little bit different. It's kind of like you'd expect. Fourth quarter of last year, we were carrying about 1,075 listings. And then through first quarter, we averaged about 1,226 listings.
Hmm.
Now, we do expect that because during the winter, fourth quarter of 2011, it's winter. There's less movement in the housing market, and we see our inventory drop seasonally. Right now, we're just kind of like we've been talking about that early spring. So you've seen our inventory kind of increase. Now, fourth quarter of 2011, however, had 720 homes sold, and first quarter, 567. So what you're looking at there, and kind of that's the struggle sometimes with the spring market, is less homes sold than in the fourth quarter and more inventory means that you have to really kind of watch where you're at pricing-wise. It's kind of counterintuitive to what you would think. A lot of people are saying spring market's the best market, the only time to sell. Yes, things show a lot better, but we also have more competition to be concerned with. So we're constantly checking on that competition, where they're priced, and where we have to be to get your home sold. So that's why these numbers are so important, that we're keeping track of this. where's the market going, mm-hmm. and what's happening with that. So we are looking very, very similar to last year. We have some more pendings, but we also have a little bit more inventory. We have some great new inventory to talk about. We're going to come back with that. Mike's going to talk some about that lending so we can figure out a little bit about what's going on inside of those numbers logistic-wise. And then we're going to break down some segments of the market. How much of the market is selling below 100,000? How much above 500? And so that's always an interesting thing to see. And we will announce when I get back. I'm going to personally try to statistically change the market next quarter above 500,000 because I think I can. So when we come back, I'm going to tell you how that's going to work.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We have been doing, I can't believe it, but we have been doing our first quarter market review.
Wow.
We've got all the numbers and the stats in, and man, when you really break the year down into quarters like that and think we've already smoked by one and we're half a month into the next one, it's really, really surprising. A great review, though. I'm excited to where the market's been. We talked a lot before the break how we're running a very similar market to we had last year. We're monitoring those trends, though, because it can change quickly, and that's the information that we need to get to our sellers and buyers so they can make informed decisions. We have talked a lot of numbers, though. We don't want anybody to be changing the dial too fast, though. So why don't we let Mike Denslow with Wells Fargo soften it back up for us a little bit. And, you know, Mike, I was thinking one of the biggest things is talk to me a little bit about people ask me this three times this week, you know, why is that guy on your radio show? Why Wells Fargo? You know, that it's a big company and there's a lot going on there, but what's the difference? I know the differences. Comes down to, you know, your service that you provide clients, but also the backing. Like, I don't have to worry about Wells Fargo going out of business, you know. At least I don't think I do at this point. So from everything I've read and researched. But, yeah, talk to me a little bit about what's going on over there. How can you help?
I think it's about results and relationships, right? I mean, we started our relationship over results.
Yep.
You close some transactions on time and with customer service and with updates and all those kind of things. You treat people the way you want to be treated. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, you know, you should use this guy. Or, you know, referrals become a lot easier once you develop that reputation of, you know, a good solid purchase transaction, a sale, all the different things. The last thing you want is to add stress. It's already a stressful situation when you're selling and moving or buying and moving and all those other things that go along with it. So I like to create, you know, an expectation of we're going to do everything we can. I live and breathe this, as do you. This is not just a job. This is a career. This is our life. This is our community. And I don't take it lightly.
Yeah.
You know, I have found something to do that I'm passionate about, and I didn't, you know, when I got into this business, I didn't really think about that angle of it. I was like, okay, I like numbers, and I like people, and I like this, and, you know, but the satisfaction when a home is closed and those people move in, and I typically try to make a phone call the week after things have died down a little bit and just check in, see if anybody has any questions, the satisfaction element of this business, wow. I mean, did you think about that when you got in?
You know, it didn't start out that way because a little bit of my history was that I originally got my license because I thought it was a head start on investments. So I thought, gosh, this would be great because I'll kind of have a leg up on, you know, I'll know when all the hot deals hit the market and kind of have a leg up. And it was more for personal investment strategy with real estate because I had started buying real estate. And so that's how it originally happened. So absolutely not. I did not think about that. But then what happened, how it really started to change was a couple of our friends would be like, well, Lance, you got your real estate license and you've been buying some property. Can you help me with this? We want to buy our first home. Man, you put that first-time home buyer in their first home, and it's not like, here's your keys. I mean, they're like hugging you, and the baby's moving in. That is the change, you know, and that's when it really started to kind of change in my mind, like, wow, this could be something we could do, you know. And the first time you help a seller who has moved out of town, and they've gotten a new job, and the property here is just an albatross around their neck, you know, and they're drowning with that.
They're making two payments.
And the first time you do a situation like that and you sell that house to that person and the relief on that you hear through the phone. So, so it only took one or two of that. And then I started to realize, yeah, this is a career, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Wells Fargo, and I think I said in a show a few weeks ago, Wells Fargo turned 160 years old. In March.
Wow.
That's unreal.
52. Yeah, amazing, huh? And it was started out as a banking and express company in New York, and it's just, you know, moved out the gold rush in San Francisco, you know, in those times, and it did a lot with that, and the current headquarters are in San Francisco for Wells Fargo Bank, and, you know, it's something.
It's here, yeah.
I mean, think about that, the gold rush.
Yeah, that's what started for sure. It's crazy. Yeah, and what I found is interesting, too, is the amount of resources that you guys provide.
Well, in 2011, it was the fourth consecutive year that Wells Fargo gave out over $200 million towards volunteer efforts, and our volunteers topped 1.5 million hours of volunteer time, and that's just the time that was logged. You know, to be honest with you, I do all this stuff for Water Follies and the Parade of Homes and all these different things. I'm busy with transactions. I didn't log my hours.
You haven't reported this. That's 1.509 when we add
They need to add a little bit on there, don't they?
Definitely.
There's grants, charitable giving, all these different things. Community investments of over $67 million to over 8,000 educational programs in schools across the U.S. Over $63 million to nonprofits for community development in distressed communities for affordable housing, home ownership counseling, financial education, job creation, workforce development. I mean, you know, some people look at it in big versus local and all these different things. And I like to look at it as, you know, yeah, I went to work for a big company, but they do so much locally for, you know, for the different communities. It doesn't feel so big to me. But
no, I agree. And I mean, that is one of the things that impressed me. I mean, a big switch for me was, you know, a couple months ago, I had seen a news story. I think I even mentioned it on the air where they had held a home ownership conference for people. So they had gone to a big city that had a lot of foreclosures. I think it was even in Detroit, maybe, if I'm remembering correctly. And they'd actually held a conference where they said, we know you don't want to, you know, wait on a hold for 9 hours and not get to this. So come down, just bring your loan documents, and let's try to work out a settlement deal right here at the conference.
And they've done those all across the nation in the communities that were hit the most with loan-to-value problems and the values going down, and they're very successful. We've seen videos, at least in my office, of the different things and people coming in and then getting to sit down with someone and they pretty much put them up in gymnasiums.
Right.
You know,
yep,
tables and computers and different things. And they came in and they sat down and they helped as many people as they could. I mean, nobody, you know, wants to kick somebody out of a place. They want to figure it out. And
right.
So, you know, those little things like you were talking about are huge. Number one in customer satisfaction for banks and mortgage in 2011, again. And this is independent studies. Obviously, you know, these numbers aren't coming from Wells Fargo. So number one originator of loans, I think I told you in the third quarter or fourth quarter of last year, over 30% of all mortgages originated in the fourth quarter came through Wells Fargo. The company is getting stronger, and the bank obviously loves the mortgage division. I mean, I go to these national conferences, and the president of the bank comes and talks to us, and he's like, well, we love you guys because we are getting more people into homes. We are improving their financial situation with refinances, and it's a big piece of the bank's, you know, footprint. And
Well, good. Yeah.
I keep getting that support.
That's fabulous. And I really wanted people to have that kind of background, know a little bit about the company that you're working for, and not just, you know, not just who you are. You know, we're getting to know you better, but also kind of the backing and support that you get from that company. So that makes a huge, huge difference.
Yeah. Thanks.
We have price ranges. So I made a big claim, you know, that I'm going to try to statistically change the price ranges because we will see that there are some, as we get to a higher number, that only has one sale in it in the first quarter of a K.
Wow.
So, you know, if I could produce another sale in that price range, I could change that quadrant of the market by over 50%. So I'm all for it. So let's talk a little bit about where the numbers are coming from, the market as a whole. We talked about those gross numbers before, 567 sales. Where did these sales come from? So here we've got 0 to 100,000. So 100,000 and below, kind of the first segment that we break out of. That number was, that percentage of the market was 12% of the market.
Wow.
So below 100,000, it represented 12% of the market. Very similar to last year, and this is what we really see is kind of, people always ask, what is selling? Well, 100 to 200,000, and that does put us right in kind of that sweet spot for our average sales price, but 100 to 200,000 represents almost exactly 50% of our market.
Wow.
So we've got just under 300 sales in that bracket. So almost 50% of the market there. The next biggest segment, 200 to 300,000, and I was actually surprised it was this high, represented 26% of the market. So when you look at that, up to 300,000, those three segments, I mean, we've got almost 85% of the market, you know, right in there. And that kind of equates when you do out the math and you see that in the first quarter, our average sales price was $198,300. That's the average just across the board for the first quarter. And that was up slightly from fourth quarter. So fourth quarter ended up, even though there was more sales, so that was up slightly from $197,000 that was in the fourth quarter last year. So then things get, we start to kind of take a little dip here. So 300 to 400,000, 9%.
Mm-hmm.
So still there's some movement in that. There's some movement in that segment of the market, a decent number of sales. And then we go 400 to 500,000 and we drop to 2%. So 400 to 500,000, there's quite a few listings in that segment when you look, and we're running just about 2% in that segment for the first quarter, and then it only gets worse after that. So 500 to 600,000, there was one closed sale. So I did the math, and I think it was 0.17 percent of the market. So one sale, and then actually there was a slight bump, I guess I could say 50% more. 600, I didn't even bother to do the segments because then 600 to a million, there was two sales. So it really, as you can see, it really drops off above 400,000. You know, it's kind of where that market gets really competitive. I've talked to my sellers in that price point. I do have some great listings that fall in that range of, you know, 400 to 600,000. But one of the things we're very careful about is we're very careful about our pricing in that segment. Because normally, and we're actually a little bit down there, normally we're selling in that range above 500,000, you know, we're selling, it works out to be about 1.5 a month when you look at that segment. Now, we were just a little bit slightly below that in the first quarter. We were at about 1 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when you look at the inventory in that price range across the Tri-Cities as a whole, there's usually, in the last year, there's always been between 23 and 25 listings in that price point. So when we figure, and we've talked about on the radio show before, what we call absorption rates, how many are selling per month, how many are active, and if we're selling one a month right now and there's 24 actives, we have a two-year supply of homes in that price range. And that is not a situation that usually lends itself to burning up the market for sellers in that price point. So one thing we're very careful about is that our sellers in that price point know these numbers. We take that into consideration when we're pricing, and it's something that we're always following up with and checking on to see what's been changing. These numbers really represent kind of the lifeblood of our business, where the market's going. These are the numbers we need to know to make informed decisions and help our customers. And so that is kind of our first quarter review. That kind of tells you exactly where we're at. The market is clicking along. I would say I would call it a good market. We're very similar to where we were last year. There's obviously, from the results of this, a lot of activity still in the market. And so homes are moving, and they're moving at about the same pace they were last year, and we're kind of watching those different segments. So next week, I am going to get down, because we've talked about it a lot. So you can expect... Oh, hold on. We can't wrap. John, can I have two more minutes?
Sure.
Okay.
I was going to say, where's the pick three? Right?
Okay, yeah, that's exactly right. I definitely want to get this in, because I have some amazing properties. One property that's phenomenal, and we've actually, and we have not been on the market hardly at all, but we've already decided that we are going to become the best deal in West Richland. And so last week we dropped the price $10,000, so we're at 1504 South 55th Court. We're at $250,000 on this home. Now, it is a five-bedroom, three-bath, two-story home, and this was built, I mean, crazy. This was built in 07, and we're talking 2,700 square feet. They've gone through and they've done upgrades. They've done upgrades to the countertop. I mean, this literally is like a brand-new model home. That's $92 a square foot in West Richland behind the Oaks up there, and it's priced at $250,000. It is the best deal for a two-story in West Richland.
Wow.
So you definitely want to check that one out for sure. Another great listing that we have going from West Richland to South Richland is 1236 Cameo Drive. This is in Applewood, and this is 2,800 square foot Rambler, all one level, two master suites, plus another bedroom, plus an office, and this is priced at $365,000. Totally upgraded landscaping, block walls, oversized garage. Beautiful, beautiful built home right in that South Richland corridor, and it's priced at $365,000. And then the next deal that is just one of the most beautiful properties and views you can expect to see in the spring right now. If you've ever wanted to live on the river, here's your chance. We have on the Yakima River, 1651 Jones Road, and this is a four-bedroom, three-bath home. And it has with it, we're talking 500 feet of Yakima River frontage.
Ooh.
And you're just not going to find these type of properties available. Over 4 acres, so you've got the best of both worlds. You've got the pasture, you've got the beautiful house setting, and you've got over 500 feet of Yakima River. I mean, the afternoons and evenings, it's hard for me to want to even leave this house, you know, once I'm there showing it, because you can literally just hang out there and get lost in the river. So fabulous, fabulous property out there on Jones Road, close to town, close to everything, and that's priced at $450,000, and it is hard to get on the river for $450,000. So any of those pick threes this weekend, if you want to see any of those, give me a call. We're so over our time. I apologize, McKay. We're going to wrap up with Mike and as he finishes up here, and then we're going to get out of here.
Yeah, have you got any lending questions, pre-approval, builder questions, rates, refinances, any of those things, I can be contacted at 736-2621 or on my cell at 531-9507. And as always, Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., Equal Housing Lender.
All right, and we will see you guys next week and have our lending special.
Right here on News Talk 870.